Anders Aslund of the Peterson Institute for International Economics has been following the political upheaval in Russia for a long time, but especially in the last several weeks and months of demonstrations against Prime Minister Putin's bid to return to the presidency. This is Steve Wiseman at the Peterson Institute. Anders, what are the prospects in the election in March in Russia for a victory by Mr. Putin and for public acceptance if he should win, as many say?
Well, we don't quite know what to think of his opinion polls, since they are official or controlled by the officials. They show that Prime Minister Putin will win a big majority in the first round. But regardless of what happens, President Putin will have a much less legitimacy than he has had previously. Here comes a man back after having been 12 years in power and essentially nothing new to offer. So he has not really presented any new program. You can say that the best he has offered has been what he did during his first years in power, to judge from his publicized articles. But this is not really credible. Why didn't he do it in 2000 to 2002? And it's not likely that he will do it this time around. At the same time, there is a lot of crude propaganda in the more popular television channels. So he's pursuing a campaign on several lines, crude populist propaganda on television, a sophisticated liberal campaign in the newspapers, and then really crude, raw propaganda on the internet, unknown from where.
Well, let's talk about this populism as it translates into Russia. For one thing, you've noted that Mr. Putin is reconsidering the privatizations, so that he's kind of bashing the oligarchs or the plutocrats, whatever you want to call them. But what does that translate into, and what would be the economic consequences of that road?
Well, he had talked about it, and he did it to the Russian Union of Industrialists and Entrepreneurs at their Congress as a big threat. But he did not specify in any way how he would like to make them pay up. And we have seen this once before. It was after the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, and this really totally disrupted that government. So that everybody just discussed for half a year what should be done about reprivatization, as they called it in Ukraine. In the end, only one enterprise was reprivatized.
Yeah, you and others have used that term, reprivatized, but wouldn't we more understand that to be nationalized? In other words, the state taking over, either by taking over the ownership of these companies or confiscating revenues in some other way?
Well, what Putin really suggested was a windfall tax, that the difference between what the oligarchs paid for their enterprises and what they are really worth should be taxed to some extent. But he didn't say whom it should apply to, what rate it would be, and how it would be done.
Now, the oligarchs have always been allies of Putin. Is this going after them phony or real?
Well, you can say that Putin had a deal with the oligarchs from early on, saying that you stay out of politics and I stay out of your property. And Putin's line is that Mikhail Khodorkovsky broke that deal. Therefore, he ended up in prison and had his property confiscated. But this is not quite true. There are many oligarchs who have got their properties confiscated and have fled the country, although they have stayed out of politics. So the basic point is that the rule of law and property rights are not very very strong in Russia. But this open threat from Putin is quite worrisome.
Worrisome to investors? To whom?
Well, what we saw in Ukraine was that GDP grew from fell from double digits before the Orange Revolution to negative in the course of a little bit more than half a year. And when you get a discussion about who is really allowed to own something, then you have a lot of other oligarchs who think that they have more rights to these properties and want to take over the companies. And that is very destabilizing. So this is very dangerous to play with.
Putin is also stoking the flames of nationalism and with the consequence that some of that's taking the form of anti-American rhetoric and blaming the United States and Hillary Clinton or whoever for the anti-government demonstrations of the last couple of months. Is that affecting U.S.-Russian relations significantly, or is the U.S. just trying to weather the storm until after the elections?
Well, we should specify here, it's not so much nationalism as straightforward anti-Americanism. And when you talk to people who know Putin and you ask him, is he really that dumb that he thinks that the U.S. is trying to do all of these things against you? They say Putin has a profound paranoia, which is typical of an old KGB officer, always thinking that there is a conspiracy against him. So what people tell you that is that Putin really believes in this. And, of course, he thinks that it's good election propaganda at the same time. So he has let loose the most anti-American public personalities you can find in Russia and have him attacking the United States fully. And the United States, to my mind rightly, is pretty much ignoring this and treating Putin as if he's not quite grown up, which this propaganda suggests. But, of course, this will have effects. A person who behaves like this cannot be taken seriously. And I think that we should go back and simply notice that Putin left in 2008, and several months after he had left, that was the low point of U.S.-Russia relationship. Then President Medvedev took over, and Russian foreign policy improved all along. And now Putin is back. What do we see? All Russian foreign policy is just floundering in old Soviet prejudices. So I think that this is quite serious.
Does it jeopardize passage of the free trade agreement of the U.S. Granting permanent normal trade relations with Russia, which many here at the Institute have advocated when it comes up for a vote later this year in Congress?
Well, we may notice that the Senate Finance Committee has not announced when they will have hearings on permanent normal trade relations with Russia as yet. And that is one effect in itself. I hope that it won't have too much consequences because PNR is really in the interest of the U.S. economy. And it would be entirely detrimental to the United States if it were not adopted. But, of course, if Putin will continue with a massive anti-American propaganda, it will be very difficult to do anything positive about Russia on Capitol Hill.
Thank you, Anders.